slowly go down. Here, sing it with me. And if you have a hard time getting back up, don't worry about it. All right, here we go. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, forget to pray, forget to pray. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Naps down here on the front row. Oh, stay down, because now we're going to read our Bible. This is what happens, folks, when you read your Bible and you pray. The Bible says you're going to grow. All right, so let's go ahead and try that. Read your Bible, pray every day. Man, they're growing upstairs. All right. Thank you. You all may be seated. You all may be seated. Now, let me just tell you real quickly, tomorrow night, visitors, by the way, if you're a visitor here tonight, thank you for coming, okay? We have the names of those that have been here already. Now, tomorrow night, visitors are not worth 10,000 points. They're worth 20,000 points tomorrow night, okay? 20,000 points, and also your team cheer tomorrow night, we are going to give points for that. It'll be 50,000 points for your team cheer tomorrow night. Any questions on that? Good. Now, Wednesday night, our snack is going to be pies and coffee, yes. But it's going to be a pie contest, okay? So I'm going to give 5,000 points to every pie that you bring in, okay? That's it. That's the rule. Every pie that you bring in will be worth 5,000 points. If one happens to find their way on my desk, well, never mind about that. All right. Yes, question.
Are we going to clarify what is a pie?
It's crust and it's got stuff in it, okay? All right? Yes, I know we had some questions about that 2 years ago. Yes. No, we didn't count Bibles. Okay, captains, count your Bibles real quick while I'm going through this for everyone. Hold your Bibles up. Team captains, 10,000 points to the team who has their count up here first. 10,000 points. How many Bibles, red team? They're still counting. Count all the Bibles. Okay. 53 Bibles on the blue team. 61 on the blue team. 62 on the blue team. Okay, 62 Bibles on the blue team. That's 140,000 points for the blue team. Red team had how many? 168 Bibles on the red team. I'll let you do the math. Times 5,000, all right? Times 5,000. So Wednesday night is our pie contest. 5,000 points for every pie that your team brings in. You have to have them here by noon on Wednesday, okay? 12:01. No go, all right? Well, yeah, go, bring it, but it won't be any points. 12 o'clock at noon on Wednesday, and poor Tom and Sarah are going to be the pie contest judges, okay? So they're going to eat some of all 500 pies that you bring. No, I'm just kidding. What we're going to do is if it's a homemade pie, they're going to taste it, and they'll be judging to see which team has the best tasting pie. We'll break it up into categories. There will be a fruit pie and cream pies, okay? Two different categories there, fruit pie and cream pie. And let's see, I think that's it. Tonight, when Pastor Tom or Brother Tom is done preaching, we're going to have snacks back in the fellowship hall. And if anyone wants to stick around, we'll be playing Nine Square outside. But that's always fun. And so let's go ahead and give our attention now to Brother Tom.
Well, it's good to see everybody tonight. And this is for the kids. Again, this is for the kids. If the adults want to participate, that's fine. But last night I taught you something that I learned when I was in basic training. It's how to come to attention. And so remember, when I call you attention, your heels together, shoulders back, arms down by your side, all right? And we'll see how well you do. We'll have a little bit of inspection time here. All right, are you ready? Group. Gotcha. Group attention. Gabster. Is that the name your mother gave you? I didn't think so. Don't even smile. Stand at attention, at attention. What's so funny? Did you shine your shoes this morning, sir?
Yes, sir.
You did? Uh-oh. That's trouble. Where are you from?
Illinois,
what part?
Taylorville.
This is your hometown?
Actually, Awanico.
Awanico. All right, good, good. Attention, attention, attention. I know you. Attention, attention. Look ahead, look ahead. Where'd you get your hat from, sir? You don't know? Do you know what it says? What's it say? Good job. All right. All right, stand at attention, stand at attention. I'm going to call you to at ease. Tomorrow night, I'll teach you another command. Are you ready? Group at ease. All right, good. For the rest of us, we can take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter number 2. You don't have to turn very far because Genesis is in the very first book of the Bible. And it's been a privilege, really, to be here with Grace Baptist Church and be with Family Camp or Family, all Church Vacation Bible School. And I'm learning some things about your pastor that I didn't know. He's not nothing bad. He's a good pastor. I've known that for a while. But he's also a good game show host. And if Alex Trebek, is that his name, Alex Trebek, if he ever retires, I'm putting your pastor's name in. I think he'd do a great job at that. And so he'd probably rather be pastoring, but what a great time. And if you're visiting tonight, thanks for coming. And if you think this is crazy, just come back on Sunday and you'll see something different. I'm just teasing. They're not crazy on Sunday. That's your good folks. I want to welcome Carl and Jackie, my in-laws from the Chicago area, come down to visit with the family for a couple days, and glad to have them. And I saw a fellow walk in with a Carolina Panthers hat on a little bit ago, and I thought, man, praise the Lord. I'm a Carolina Panther fan. I was born in North Carolina, but Woody's from Mississippi. That's close enough, amen? And so good to have him and his crew here tonight. And so I've really just been burdened. The most important thing, if I could call it that, the most important priority that any of us have, whether you're 4 or 40 or 80, is family. It's not fame. It's not fortune. It's family. And I grew up in a home where my mother, she was separated from my dad before I was a year old. I didn't meet my dad till I was about 10 years old. And she remarried again when I was about 2. And that marriage didn't work out. She remarried again when I was a young teenager, and that didn't work out. And she remarried again after I graduated from high school, and the verdict's still out on that one. But I love my mom. I love my stepdads, but I don't believe that was the way God intended for family to be. And it's hard. It's a reality. And sometimes we think, boy, we have to have the perfect family, or there's an indicator that God's blessing us if we have the perfect family. But I want to remind you tonight that there's no such thing as the perfect family. There's not. And everybody's got struggles. Everybody's got burdens. Some people do a good job at carrying those burdens, and some of us don't do such a good job sometimes. And tonight I want to encourage you that your family, you young people, your family is important. It's very important. And tonight I want to look at Adam's family. Now, not the Adam's family, okay? But Adam's family. Adam's the first family. And there's so much that we can learn about Adam and Eve and their family. And they had some struggles just like we have struggles. And I'm going to begin reading in chapter 2 and verse number 18. And you can follow along if you don't have your script, the Bible. But I want you to notice a couple of things about Adam's family. I want you to notice, first of all, his home. His home. The Bible says in verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him, a helper, a companion." And so God knew very soon that Adam needed some help. Men, we all need help, don't we? And so I'm so glad my wife is getting auctioned off tomorrow night, because I know she's more valuable and worth more than I am. Geographically, I'm from North Carolina. She's from the Midwest, Chicago area. I married up geographically, and I married up every single way, and with intelligence and everything. And so, but I need a companion, help. We all need help. And somebody said about your helpmeet, your spouse helps you meet the standard that you can't meet without them. Their help. And so their home was established. And by the way, there are three institutions that were established by God, and all of them are very important. You have the church that was established by God. You have human government, which was also established by God. But before both of those, you know what you had established by God? The family, the home. It's very important. All three of those work together, of course, but God established the home. And the Bible says in verse 19, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." And so if you don't like what some of the animals are called, when you get to heaven, you can take it up with Adam, okay? And so he named them. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now, I didn't grow up in a home that was really a good example for what a successful home should be like. And maybe you didn't either, but that's not an excuse for us not to have one. And you can say, "Well, that's in my past, and I've made some mistakes." Can I tell you, the God that created the heaven and earth is the God of mercy and the God of grace. And whatever happens in the past can be forgiven, and we can all move forward. And so here's Adam, and he has what we would call maybe a successful home. It's Adam and Eve. They're the first two people, and here they are together, and they're one, really one as a family, in a family unit. And I thought about this. Some of the things that I observe in other good, successful families is this. If you're going to have a successful family, number one, there needs to be harmony. What's another word for harmony? Yes. When things are all working together, you say, "Boy, I wish my family was that way." Well, sometimes families aren't really working together. Sometimes we're going in 100 different directions at the same time. But you know what? It's something it's not automatic. In a family where there is harmony, things working together, you know what it takes? It takes work. And it takes work on everybody's part. It just doesn't happen automatically. We choose to work towards harmony in the home. The first home, they had harmony. You know what else they had? They had unity. Well, somebody would say, well, there was only two of them. It wouldn't be that hard. Well, if you've ever lived with somebody long enough, sometimes it does get hard. Because I'll just be honest with you, I'm still selfish. And I still think about me. And a lot of times I just put me first. You know what that does? It causes disunity. And it's not automatic, but a successful home, there's harmony. There's working together, maybe towards the same goal. And you say, well, I don't really have any goals for my family. Well, you ought to establish some goals for your family. Some spiritual goals even, and maybe some practical goals. Because somebody said this, if you aim for nothing, guess what? You'll hit it every single time. And so these are goals that you need to set forth for your family. Harmony and unity and sensitivity. And can I tell you, for a little while, Adam and Eve, they enjoyed all that. They did. They had these things in their home. And we all desire to have these in our home. And I think about this. I think about it in the context of our country. And I think about we do have an enemy. And he is very vile and subtle. And I think about his number one target, and I ask myself the question sometimes, is the enemy's number one target, is it the church or the home? You know the answer I come up with? Yes. And strong families make strong churches. And strong churches make for strong countries. And so Adam's home, it started out pretty well. And most of our homes, you know, we have that idea that we have a chance to start out well. And sometimes it goes on well for a little while, and sometimes it doesn't. And here's Adam, and we see number one, their home. But I want you to see number two, their heartbreak. I mean, the home's a sensitive place because that's where our hearts are encouraged, but sometimes that's where our hearts are broken. And I just want to read a little bit about Adam and their home, And we're just going to kind of skip around a little bit. But you think about Adam and Eve. Now God gave them a simple command in Genesis chapter number 2. He told the man, and he said in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So really, his job was to take care of the home that God placed him in. Pretty simple, right? Not a whole lot of laws, not a whole lot of rules. Adam, dress and keep the garden. And then he says in verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest, and my Bible says, freely eat. Now, I circled that because I like to eat, and I like to eat for free, and I like to eat freely. I don't have to worry about what I'm eating. And so Adam, I mean, he had it made. He said, here it is, Adam. You're in a garden. Here is what you have to do. And he says, of all the trees that are in the garden, thou mayest freely eat. It's like a seafood buffet, except better. And so he's given that. And then the Bible says in verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, if you know the Bible account, was Adam successful or not successful? He disobeyed. And can I tell you, disobedience to God always brings heartbreak. And a lot of times it starts right in the home. And you see these consequences. I'm trying to develop this in my children and even in my own life. Obedience always brings delight, and disobedience will always eventually bring destruction. And so Adam's home was pretty good for a while, and all of a sudden there's heartbreak. Down in Genesis chapter number 3, God pronounces a curse. He starts with the serpent in verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And then there was a curse upon the woman, verse 16, and unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, if you're here, and you're a lady, and you've given birth to children, I guess they call it labor for a reason. It hurts. It's painful. For the most part, it's very painful. You know why? I believe it's part of the curse. And there's heartbreak there. There's the woman's desire over her husband, to rule over her husband. And then upon the man, verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. Now that's rough. I mean, if anybody's ever been involved in farming before, you know it's hard work. I mean, you just don't plant seed and enjoy the fruit. There's a lot of work. You have to weed, you have pesticides, you have all those things. You say, why is that? Thank Adam. He did. I mean, that was part of the curse. And he's experiencing heartbreak on every single level. And this is something we have to understand. Disobedience always brings destruction. And all they had was really one rule. Adam, don't eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. You said, you would say, I would never do that if I was Adam or Eve. I wouldn't have done it. I just would have stayed away from it. But you know what? The Bible teaches us in other places that eventually you and I would have done the very same thing. It's just human nature. When you see a wall and it says on a little piece of paper on the wall, wet paint, don't touch. What do you want to do? You want to touch it, right? You just got to test it out, you know. We were at a college just last week visiting, and they had a sign that said, please keep off of the grass. Beautiful grass. I'm like, man, grass that beautiful ought to be walked upon, you know. And it's just part of human nature. When somebody tells you no, you cannot do it, you want to do it because inside your heart is deceitful and rebellious. And you know what it's part of? It's part of the heartbreak of the curse. And so we see their home. We see their heartbreak. Now it gets even worse because they have children. And really before they have children, you find out, look at verse 23. The Bible says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so you want to think about Adam and Eve's heartbreak, okay? This is reality. Number one, they had negative outside influences. You say, where's the negative outside influence? Well, you read the first part of Genesis chapter number 3. Satan was the negative outside influence that caused them to doubt what God had clearly said. You know, in our homes, that's a real battle to just protect your family from negative outside influences. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the television. All you have to do is turn on the radio. We don't even listen or watch the news. Now we're in tune. We don't stick our heads in the sand like an ostrich. We are in tune in our home, but there's so much negativity and criticism and everything out there, and we need to protect our families from negative outside influences. And they failed in that way, and there's heartbreak. You think about Adam and Eve, they were kicked out of their home. You could say this, they had financial struggles. You ever had financial struggles? Man, that just adds pressure to already a stressful situation, you know. And so there's negative outside influences, there's financial troubles, and there's some bitterness in the home. I'll read from Genesis chapter number 4. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So they have two children. And if you have more than one child, you know that your children are totally, you can have two children and they're totally completely different. Do you have a brother and sister, or brother or sister? Where's your brother or sister? Right? Oh, they sit close to you. They like you enough to sit close to you, okay? I appreciate his honesty. But are you exactly the same as your sister? Are you exactly the same as your brother? Do you have the same exact skills that he has? Do you have the same exact weaknesses that he has? Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but you're different, right? So Adam and Eve, they had two boys. They're totally different. One was a keeper of the sheep, and one was a tiller of the ground. In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And so it was prescribed after the fall of man that the only thing that could cover sin was a sinless sacrifice. So that's why God killed two animals to clothe Adam and Eve, and that was the only acceptable sacrifice, was a sinless blood offering. That's why it had to be animals. And so that was told. And so Abel did what he was supposed to do. He brought a what? He brought a sheep for a sacrifice. Cain, he was a farmer, a different kind of farmer. And so he bought what he harvested as a sacrifice. I believe he knew better than that. And that's why the Lord did not have respect unto his offering. And the Bible says that Cain was very wroth and his countenance failed. You know what that means? He was mad. He was furious. And he was bitter. And that's hard in a family. It's hard when other family members have bitterness in their hearts towards other family members. And you know what it really is? It's heartbreaking. But that's the reality. There's family members right now in this room. And if you think about it, it's really easy to hold a grudge or be bitter towards another family member. And can I tell you, if you're not right with your fellow family member, then you're not right with God. And you need to have those things taken care of. But Adam and Eve, they experienced all kinds of heartbreak, negative outside influences and financial struggles. They were kicked out of their own home. There was bitterness in their own home, and I'm sure it tore them up. And the Bible says in verse number 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And the Bible says this, listen. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Wow, that's heartbreaking. I mean, the negative outside influences, the financial struggles, the bitterness in their home, and now they have a son that was murdered. That's tough. You can even add to that, not only did they have a son that was murdered, but they had a son that was a murderer. Man, that's tough. I'm talking about heartbreak. Sometimes we look at these people in the Bible and we think that they were so good and perfect and had a walk with God, but guess what? They had the same struggles that we have today. And they were real. And so Cain rose up and slew his brother, and you can imagine just how heartbreaking that would be. And here they are, and I think there's every family that's represented here tonight has experienced some kind of heartbreak, heart-wrenching. I think about a couple of families that have just been in my life recently. There's a man named Jackie Elwert. He was an assistant pastor in North Carolina. We met him several years ago. And he has three daughters, Charlotte, Naomi, and not Naomi. What do you remember their names? Charlotte. I'll put you on the spot. Three beautiful daughters. His wife's name's Carrie, and we met them. And we learned about Carrie and her story. And she had cancer for a couple of years and was battling cancer, and she went through the treatments in North Carolina, and boy, it just went away. And so when we met Jackie and Carrie and their three girls, they were serving the Lord on staff at the church there, and man, just a blessing, fun people to be around. And Jackie was a Marine before he got saved, and so he's just a nice, just an easygoing guy to get around. And a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago, we were having fellowship with Jackie and his family. And we found out that Carrie got leukemia again. And they had to go through the whole process all over again. But this time, it was swift. And Carrie went to be with the Lord. Heartbreak. Wow. Do you know why people die? It's sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men. Why? Because of one man's disobedience. And Carrie dies, and she had a testimony. She knew the Lord as her Savior, so she's in glory. And of course, Jackie now, he's by himself. He's got three little girls to raise, and we kept in contact. And a little over a year ago, he told me, he said, "Hey, God's brought somebody else into my life, and I was wondering if you would do my wedding." Well, praise the Lord. You know, that an evangelist doesn't get to do too many weddings, and so I was excited about that, and make it short, make it sweet. And so Jackie and Brittany got married, and so we kid around, make jokes about his second wife and things like that, but he is totally happy, and she is totally happy. The girls are happy, and Jackie's about to plant a church. He's about to raise support to plant a church in Big Bear, California, and God has just been graceful. But what I'm trying to say is heartbreak happens to everybody. Whether you're serving the Lord or not serving the Lord or whatever, it's just a reality in life. 2 weeks ago, a good friend of mine, his name is Pastor Wayne Birchwell. He pastors in Limestone, Pennsylvania, a little town about an hour east of Pittsburgh. And so he has 7 kids, and he came to Ambassador. He got saved as an adult. He was an insurance salesman, and he got saved up in Maryland, and he brought his family down to Ambassador and enrolled in Bible college there. And he was hard to miss because he had 7 kids, you know. And I remember seeing the green van, and I remember meeting his boys. He's got 4 boys and 2 girls, and his boys grew up, and a couple of his boys worked for me at camp, Kyle and Ryan Birchwell, and they were just like, I mean, you would think if you saw these teenage boys, when these guys grow up, they will be Navy SEALs. I mean, they just kind of had that mentality and enthusiasm, and boy, they were just all about doing everything. And Kyle, eventually he surrendered his life to the Lord, and he went off to Bible college, and he's going to the mission field. He's just graduated, and then Ryan is a couple years younger than he. He's surrendered his heart to the Lord to be an evangelist, and they were together about 2 weeks ago with another friend of ours down in Georgia, and they were hunting hogs. They do that kind of stuff down in South Georgia, you know, and they had rifles, and they had thermovision to where it's like night vision, but you can see the heat, and they're out there hunting hogs in Georgia, and really, I don't know all the details, but Ryan, he got to where he in a position that he shouldn't have been in, and he got by in front of the other two boys that were shooting, and one of those two boys, whether it was his brother or the other guy, pulled the trigger and blew Ryan's head clean off. And I don't mean to be graphic, but that's heartbreaking. You get a text that say, "Did you hear what happened to Ryan?" I mean, his dad's a pastor. His dad's a good man. They're serving the Lord. They're trying to do right. And here it is. And now his brother, Kyle, has to deal with this. And you know what? That's heartbreaking. And I don't know what I would do. I haven't lost a close relative yet. But I'm just trying to tell you, whether it's Adam's home or the Birchwell home or the Elwert home, heartbreak happens in the home. It's a reality. And so Adam had to deal with it. But you move to all the bad news, and somebody would say, well, if God's really a loving God and he really cares, why would he let things like that happen? Hey, since the beginning of time, God has set the rules in existence. They are laws that cannot be changed, and disobedience, man's disobedience, has to be judged by death. We look at it and we don't understand it all, but man's actions have resulted in a sinful world, and it's not God's fault, it's man's fault. And it's heartbreaking. But you know what? God does not leave anybody heartbroken, young people. You know what he gives them? He gives them hope. So you have a home, you have heartbreak, but then you have hope. You know where the hope was for Adam and Eve? Let me read it to you. I love this verse. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. God is talking to Satan, and he gives one of the greatest promises that have ever been given. In Genesis chapter 3:15, God says to Satan, he says, "I will put enmity," or an enemy, "between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So you know what God says to Satan? One day I'm going to bring an enmity, or an enemy, and it's going to be between your seed and the woman's seed, and you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. You know what that was? That was the first messianic promise in the scripture. And you know who fulfilled that promise? The Lord Jesus Christ. He came and crushed the head of the serpent. He died for mankind. He died for the disobedience of man. He was perfect obedience. He died for sinners. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And he offers forgiveness and everlasting life. The scripture says that death came through the first Adam, but life comes through the last Adam. You know who the last Adam is? It's the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that if you'll turn from your sin and you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, ask him to forgive you, he will grant you forgiveness and he will give you everlasting life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, Adam's only hope was the Lord Jesus. Do you know our only hope is the Lord Jesus? The only difference is they were looking thousands of years ahead to the Messiah, and we can very clearly look 2,000 years back to Messiah. Every promise fulfilled. The only hope for my family, the only hope for this church family, the only hope for our country, the only hope for the whole world is the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, you ought to be thankful for your home. And if you're here and you're a young person, before you go to bed tonight, you ought to look at your mom or dad or whoever takes care of you, your grandma, your grandpa, your aunt, and just say, thanks for taking care of me. Thanks for my home. A home is a very special place. But the reality is, sometimes in the home, there's some heartbreak. There's some parents that separate and divorce. There's some bad things that happen in the home, and people get selfish, and you know what? Don't come too hard down on your parents for maybe some of that, because God is merciful and offers forgiveness. You can always move forward. The home is a vital place. Heartbreak happens there, but can I tell you, there is hope in the Lord Jesus. The Bible says about Adam and Eve, and I was just reading this just a little bit ago. You say, well, how do you know that he was really trusting in the Lord? Well, he had a son that was murdered. He had a son that was a murderer and was banished from the area. If that was me, I would have just probably given up hope. But he didn't, because God said there's going to be an enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 5, this is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. In the day that when they were created, verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years, and begot a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name, not Cain, not Abel, but Seth. And you know who the Messiah comes through? The bloodline of Seth. And so you know what I think Adam just said? I'm just going to believe God. I'm going to do what he instructed me to do. I'm going to replenish and multiply the earth. And because he believed God, we can have forgiveness and the whole world can experience salvation if they accept it by faith. The only hope for our families is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer, please? Before I pray, with heads bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to ask you a couple of questions tonight. You say, preacher, I'm here, and my family had some heartbreak. There's been some heartbreaking in my family. It's hard. Can I encourage you that there's hope? There's forgiveness through the Lord Jesus, and sometimes we can dwell on the past and all the things that maybe we messed up, but we can't go back and correct them. But that doesn't mean there's not hope for the future. And maybe there's been some heartbreak in your home, but can I tell you, God can still work. He desires to. And your home is as important to him as any other home that's ever existed. And I just want to ask you this. I know there's a lot of folks visiting here, and you would say, Mr. Thomas, if I died right now, I'm not sure I have that whole issue of salvation settled. I don't know about forgiveness. I'd like to know. I have some things that need to be forgiven. But I'm not sure I have my salvation settled. I'm not sure about that. But I certainly would like to be. Tonight, I'd like to get that settled. I'd like to pray for you in just a moment. But I'm going to encourage you to don't leave without getting it settled. In a few moments, we're going to dismiss. And if you're here and maybe you'd like to talk to somebody tonight, then we'll be here. We'll be here to talk to you. We can take the Bible and show you for sure how you can have that settled. Okay, maybe you're here and there's bitterness in your home. There's fighting and fussing and there's bitterness. Well, you can end it tonight. Just forgive. And there's hope. There's forgiveness through Christ. And just get it back on track. There's hope for your home. And maybe you're here and you say, well, I don't have any problems in my home. Well, just keep doing what you're doing. And keep following the Lord, because he's the only hope we have for our families. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness. And Lord, sometimes I look out and my heart breaks for families. And I look at my own extended family, Lord, in the past, and my heart breaks because there's been some bad decisions made. And Lord, I pray that you would just help in that. And I can't help but to think that maybe there's some heartbroken folks here. And I pray that you'd help them in their homes. And Lord, help us to just prize our homes and protect our homes. And Father, help us to yield them to you. If there's somebody here that's not been saved, I pray that, Lord, you'd help them to have the courage to get that settled tonight. It's the only hope for getting things back on track. It's the only hope for a new beginning. And Lord, we thank you that you never leave us without hope. We love you and we thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.